singing Father of Creation. Isn't it good that God's in control? I mean, just think of the mess we'd be in if he wasn't. And we sang out there for God's plan for us. And that's what we're looking at, isn't it? And that's what we're all wanting to find out. What is God's plan for us? And what's the way forward? Well, things get revealed to us step by step, don't they? And it was sometime in January, I brought a word on joy. And that's been building on me since. And we're at a meeting at Lincoln on Tuesday, and Paul Bedford was talking on joy. And I said to John and Irene afterwards, I'm not speaking on it just because he has. Yeah, because this has been in the pipeline for quite some time. Yeah, and God wants us to advance. He wants his kingdom moving forward. He wants us taking ground. He wants us to reclaim what's been lost over the years. God has called every single one of us that are believers, that believe Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Every single one of us have been called by God. It wasn't our idea, it was his. We've been commissioned, and each one of us has a commission and a purpose. God says in his word, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper, not to harm, plans to give you hope and a future. If God says it, it's true. There is the plan for us to prosper, the plans that aren't going to harm us, and it's going to give us a hope and a future. Yeah. We've been hearing that this is the decade of the mouth, and God wants his people to be vocal. Too long, the church has been silenced, and things have been eroded. Influence and authority has been taken away from the church. And when you think at one time, the church was the big mover and shaker in the nation. And so many times we hear, you don't speak about religion. You keep it private. That's absolutely contrary to what God says. God wants us to keep moving out, and he wants to be sharing the gospel. The gospel literally means good news. So yes, we see it everywhere we look. The media is trying to shut the good news down and bring in the negative things. So instead of being the church being diminished, the church being belittled, because when you look at the different television programs, when is a minister ever lifted up? Is always something to be, always a person to be mocked or to be ridiculed. We've got to advance the kingdom. If you remember, that's the word that Pam gave us, advance, advance, advance. And we looked at advance. The first step, the first way of that advance was individually. And last week, I went through a whole lot of different things, and I said I got the jump leads out to boost the current, to highlight various ways for us to help to develop, to re-engage, to re-stimulate our individual walks, our journey with God. Yeah, there's a saying, you only get out what you put in. And there's a lot of truth in that. You only get out what you put in. If you engage with something, you get benefit. If you stop on the sidelines, you don't get benefit. God is God, yes. There you are. We've even got the angels speaking to us, telling us God is God. I think we knew that. I hope we did anyway. We're just reinforcing it, though. It's good, isn't it? Yes. You only get out what you put in. When God sees that we are willing to put in, to make an effort, to draw close to him, he rewards that. We get much more out of our involvement when we start putting something in. He's a generous God. Our God, it tells us in His Word, in the Word, gives liberally and without reproach. I've said it before, but I love those words. Liberally and without reproach. Our God just wants to pour it out and pour it out. And when you think you've got enough, He says, no, that's not plenty. Have some more. Without reproach. That means if we're messed up in the past, it doesn't mean to say we've got to stop messed up. God says, come on, another chance. Come on, get on. Let's keep moving forward. So God, our generous, good Father, gives to us liberally and without reproach. When we look at Paul, when he was talking to the Romans, or writing to the Romans, I should say, in chapter 12, verse 2, again, verses we keep coming back to, verses that we should know, but verses that can still be growing on us. Do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in His plan and purpose for you. God is telling us He wants our minds transformed away from the worldly things, and He wants us to have heavenly thoughts, heavenly ways. Notice God tells us this is a process or a progression. It's not something that happens instantly. It develops. And it says, as we mature. Now, that's not getting older. That's not what He's talking about. That He's talking about as we develop, as we deepen, as we strengthen our walk with God, we mature in that, in the things of God. God is telling us in that verse to keep our focus on Him. How many times do you hear the athletes talking about focus? Focus, focus. Well, they've latched on to what God's talking about. He wants us, our focus, to be on Him. On His ways. On His word. And He says, so that we can prove it for ourselves. You know, there's a saying, you don't hear it that often now, but you used to hear it quite a lot. I know, because it's in me now. Yeah, that's right. I know because it's in me now. And nobody can take that away from me. Yeah, the different things that God has done in my life, I don't care what anybody says. They can't take that truth away from me because I know. And each one of us is like that. We've got things because we know and we know. Some things that we cannot understand, we cannot explain, but we know it was God. How do you know? Well, we just know. We know because we know and we know. We know that God has got a good and a perfect plan for us. A plan that's going to prosper us. Now, at times that may seem, hang on, what's going on here? This isn't right. That's not right. This isn't working out the way I expected. But we get a few years down the line and we look back and think, God was teaching me there. Our God was leading me there. Our God was carrying me there. Yes. We were doing Alpha on Thursday morning. And one of the things they said, God wants us to believe our beliefs and doubt our doubts. But the enemy wants us to doubt our beliefs and believe our doubts. He's the exact opposite. So I think I'd rather stick with believing my beliefs and doubting my doubts. Because we all have doubts. Yeah. I won't go down that road anymore. Yeah. Yes. So often we're good at doubting what we believe. But God just says, stand firm. He wants to prove it, as you're told in that word, by the transforming of our mind. It's Satan's oldest trick. Did God really say? John just said earlier when at the beginning there about that voice coming in, you can't do this, you can't do that. That's the enemy, as he was saying, trying to stop us from moving forward in the way. I mean, let's face it, what's the first recorded words of Satan in Scripture? Did God really say yes? Well, the answer is yes. God did say. He wants us to transform our minds. What's your response to that? I'm too old. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, I can tell you, you can. I know. It's, oh yes, you can. And when the enemy comes in and says, you can't do that, you can't do this, how are you going to learn to do that? I'm a child of God, and I can. And I can develop and move on. What's our mindset of God? You're somebody who's distant, or something that's distant, miles away. I mean, the old adage there again, this was from Alistair we saw, sat on a cloud playing a harp. Well, actually, God wouldn't be playing the harp. He'd be listening to the angels playing the harp, wouldn't he? Yeah, that's if you believe all that. Yeah, what's been put into our minds by different people about, you know, saying that God is distant? God is unapproachable. You keep well away from him because he's a severe God, and all he wants to do is thump you and punish you. He's frightening. That can be our perception. That can be what people have talked into us. But in reality, God is close to us. And he wants us even closer. It's a case, God says, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. As I said before there are times when we're ready to give up. There are times when things are so bad, that's when God picks us up and carries us. Because he doesn't want to let us go. He wants us to keep coming forward. And I think each one of us can think back into our lives and think of times, well, God, you picked me up then. Thank you so much for picking me up. So we can keep moving on. God says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden. He wants to carry them. He wants to take them. Yeah. Every concern you've got, every problem you've got, every heartache you've got, he's concerned about. He tells us, doesn't he, in his word, he knows every single hair that's on our head. Well, if he's bothered about your hairs on your head and on the hairbrush, I mean, let's face it, he must be worried. Concerned that if we are concerned. He looks to us as a father. He's loving. He's awesome. And we can approach God in the correct way. You know, last week I said one of the helps was a desk calendar. And this was on today's... That's come off. Some people fail to recognize opportunity because it comes disguised in work clothes. I think there's a lot of truth in that. But what I did pick it up for was this one back in March the 2nd that stuck. You can't break God's promises by leaning on them. And I thought that was really good. That impacted me. You can't break God's promises by leaning on them. God tells us so many things in the word that he wants us to lean on. That he wants to say, look, I'm giving you that to support you. Now, if I said to you, God is love, would you agree with that? Yes, there's a definite yes, God is love. Yeah, and I should hope we would. Because the word tells us, doesn't it? 1 John 4 and 16. We have come to know by personal observation and experience and have believed with deep, consistent faith the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides continually in him. God is love. And if we love God, God lives within us continually. What about if I said God is joy? Would we agree with that? Sorry, I'm just getting a bit of feedback. God is joy. I don't know whether we'd actually grasp hold of that as much as, well, God is love, whether we'd think God is joy in the same way. Yeah. But when we look at it, when we think about it, God created absolutely everything. Everything God created. It is part of him. So joy must be part of God. Psalm 43 verse 4 says, then I will go to the altar of God, to my exceeding joy. My exceeding joy. Our joy comes from God. For us to get hold of that and embrace. Our joy comes from God. When God was talking with Job in chapter 38, God was asking Job, if he was there at the beginning of when God was creating things, and he says, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God, that's the angelic host, shouted for joy. In the beginning, there was joy. The angels shouted for joy. Now, I don't think that was a little meek and mild shout. Yeah, that's the angelic hosts. We're told there are myriads and myriads. I don't know how many that is, but that's a lot. And the shout, they shouted for joy. Joy comes from God. When we look in Romans 15 and verse 13, Paul says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, and believing through the experience of your faith that by the power of the Holy Spirit you will abound in hope and overflow with confidence in his promises. Isn't that lovely? That we can abound in hope. That we can overflow back to this fullness of joy. Fullness, we can overflow. Fullness is not just up to here, or just up to here, or up to here. It's overflowing. That's what God means when he says fullness. We are overflowing with it. And God wants to fill us with joy, but not only joy, peace. The two go together. Let's get hold of the joy that comes from God. God will fill us out of his reserve, out of his resources. And remember, God has got an unlimited supply of resources. Psalm 30 verse 5 says, but joy comes in the morning. The Amplified says, shouts of joy. Joy comes into our lives. It comes in, notice. It's not static. It comes from God. It's not something we can generate ourselves. It's something that comes into us from God. If we look at Galatians 5 and 22, we see there the fruits of the Spirit, don't we? The fruits of the Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And every single one of those is an attribute or as part of God's character. Remember, we're made in the image of God. So what's inside us is from God. All of those gifts of the Holy Spirit are attributes of God, or part of God's character that he wants inside us, reflecting through us so people can see our God. And our God says, I want joy in you. I want joy in you. I want peace in you. Joy. What are we looking at when we say joy? One of the definitions from one of my study Bibles says joy, happiness based on unchanging divine promises and eternal spiritual realities. A sense of well-being experienced when all... A sense of well-being experienced when we know all is well between ourselves and God. So when we know all is well between ourselves and God, we get that experience of joy. It's not the result of favorable circumstances. It's not what's happening around us that causes joy. We can have joy in the midst of heartache. We can have joy in the pits. Joy like peace that passes all understanding. That's our God. He can break into any situation, any circumstance, at any time, day or night. Joy. Romans 14 and verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking what one likes, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. That's what we're looking to advance, isn't it? The kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is advancing with righteousness, peace, and joy. So we've got to be up to speed on all of those three, haven't we? We've got to be righteous before God. We've got to have peace. We've got to have joy to be moving forward. We're citizens of heaven. We're God's children. He wants us, like himself, to live in the way of heaven, even though we're on earth. So if righteousness in peace and joy is in the kingdom of heaven, righteousness, peace, and joy can be in ourselves. Now then, we're here to reclaim. Because would anybody say they've got sufficient joy? Yeah, there's always more. Whatever level we're at, there is always, always, always more. God's got a bigger shovel than we have. So, what's our capacity for joy? It's a question that each of you can only answer yourself. What is our capacity? What is my capacity for joy? What is my ability to receive joy? How are we going about receiving joy? And how aware are we how depleted we are in joy? Three main questions there which need a little bit of thinking about, I think. Yeah, I'm not going to unpack them anymore. I'm just saying there, what's our capacity? What's our ability to receive? And are we depleted in joy? And how far are we depleted in joy? over the centuries, the joy of being a believer has been pushed down. You're not supposed to be happy. You're not supposed to clap your hands in church. And how many have we heard where we've been pointed at and say, oh, they're the happy clappy ones? Several times. You're not supposed to smile. God forbid you smile in church. And worse still, laugh. Have a good time as a Christian. Now, we've got to, can you enjoy the Lord? You've got to be somber, starchy, dressed all in black. You know something? I put this together, and then this morning I got ready and came out. Whoops. So I went back and changed my jumper because I had my charcoal grey one on. I thought, well, that's a bit real, is that? So I've changed my jumper. Yes. Please, you know what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong in dressing in black at times. I'm not knocking that. But that was the way you had to dress. Everybody was in black as though we were in mourning. Well, we're not. You know, we're supposed to be the happiest people on earth. There's a book about that. I don't know if you've read it. It's a good one. You know, happiest people on earth. That's what we're supposed to be. Do our lives, I'm speaking to myself here as well, do our lives reflect that? Would people look on us and say, oh, they're Christians. Oh, how do you know? Because you can tell. Because they're happy. And I don't mean smiley faces all the time. Please, there's a distinction between happiness and joy. Yeah. Oh, what about this idea? Pauper mentality. Oh, you can't have any money if you're a Christian. Biggest load of rubbish there is. It's the love of money that's wrong. Yeah. How many people that have got money, or even with limited resources, are giving that money away, that are helping other people, that are stimulating people? And if the Christians didn't have any money, there'd be an awful lot of things that wouldn't get done in the world today. I think the body of Christians probably give away more than any other section of the community put together. Yeah. And please, I'm not talking about folks like Bill Gates and that sort of thing. Yeah, forget that bit. Anyway. Sorry?
Widow's mite.
Yeah, but yeah, the widow's mite, yes.
Bill Gates can give away lights.
Yeah, but he doesn't, he needs it. He doesn't need it. He's got enough. He can give millions or billions away and he still have plenty. The widow's mite. It's from the heart. What are we prepared to give? We give more to other people, to help other people. This is a quote I've stolen from Tuesday. C.S. Lewis, joy is the serious business of heaven. Joy is the serious business of heaven. It's saying, joy's important to God, you know. Not the lack of joy. Your medical science is advancing all the time. Brain research has found out that the left of the brain is mainly involved with problem solving. The right side involved with relationship and non-verbal processing. The right side of the brain processes faster and responds first. The right side learns primarily. I'm in dangerous ground here when I've got bars sat in the back there, aren't I? The right side of the brain learns primarily by mirroring, copying, seeing what's in front of it and taking on. Not analysing facts like the left-hand side of the brain. It's more intuitive. It's more spontaneous. It gets hold of something without reasoning, without debating, is this right, that, or the other? You know, like the left side of the brain has got to analyze every single fact before it'll say, yes, we'll go with that. The right side can say, because we sense it's right, we'll go with it. It gets on. Do you realize that this section of the brain, we're talking about the renewing or the transforming of the mind? This side of the brain can be trained. It can be shaped through interaction, through doing, rather than information. What's happening? What's going on? It can respond, and through what's going, what it's responding to, can move on and grow and develop. Just another truth they found out: our brain runs on one of two fuels, fear or joy. They're the two things the brain runs on. We're designed to be healthy and grow. We're designed to be healthy. We're designed to grow. We're designed to keep moving forward. That's by joy. As opposed to fear, creating three things. Things that we know: fight, flight, or freeze. None of those lead to fullness in Christ. The action center of our brain, that area that I'm talking about on the right front lobe, is also called the joy center. It's been established that the joy center has the capacity to grow. Your brain can grow. Often said, isn't it, that brain cells are dying daily, that our brains are getting less. It's established, or it's estimated, that we lose 10,000 brain cells a day. 10,000 brain cells a day. That's after the age of 20. So if you're under 20, you're okay. You're not losing. But after that, you are. That's over 3.5 million a year. 3.5 million? What? But let's get it put into context, shall we? Before we start getting frightened. How many brain cells do they estimate we've got? 85 billion. So losing 10,000 a day, it's not too bad, is it? If we've got 85 billion. But it's been found out in some, I didn't realize this because I was always taught that brain cells die and that's it. But brain cells can regenerate. So we might be losing 10,000 a day, but how many of them are regenerating? We've got a God who brings things back to life, haven't we? We talk about raising the dead, so why can't that just be brain cells? Yeah. So our God brings things back to life. He can regenerate. But not only that, our brain cells can grow, strengthen, get bigger, enlarge. I'll leave the science at that. But why is joy important? John 15:11 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy," that's what Jesus said, "these things I've spoken to you, that my joy." See, Jesus knew joy. I read out there about there, some people fail to recognize opportunity because it comes disguised in work clothes. Jesus didn't stop the opportunity, did he? He fulfilled what he was sent for. He realized his opportunity. And he says in Scripture, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus is saying, I'm joyful because you lot are going to come and believe in me. The joy set before him. Jesus said, my joy may remain in you. that your joy may be full. God wants us, Jesus wants us, full of his joy. Back to how is our awareness of joy? Nehemiah 8 and verse 10 says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." That's God and Jesus. They're both saying the same thing. That the joy, they want us full of joy and strengthened with joy. We need to learn how to put into practice. Develop the joy center. Why? When the joy center has been sufficiently developed, it grows. When the joy center, it regulates emotions, pain, and the immunity centers. It guides us and it releases us to be who we are and who we are created to be by God. So I think it's important that we learn how to develop. This seems very academic or whatever, but this is medical fact, but it's scriptural fact. And I think it's something that over the next few weeks, we're going to be continue looking at joy and how do we develop the joy in our lives. Yeah, because it's so, so important. I want us to be known as the happy people. I don't care what anybody else says about that. I want us to be the happy people. And not just a show, but that we are truly, truly, truly happy people. Joyful people, shall I say. Sorry. That's the idea, though, isn't it? We get the same thing in our minds, don't we? But I want us to be known as truly joyful people. That there is... Joy-filled people, yes. So that there is an attraction. That people don't look at, what do you want to do that for? But, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm longing to get back amongst them. I'm really waiting for Sunday morning to come when I can get there. And it's not just going to be Sunday mornings. The Christian walk is every day of the week. To be joy-filled every day of the week. We'll be coming back to it. But let's get a start on growth, shall we? The very first thing to start on growth, and this is something we know, but how much do we practice it? Gratitude. Giving thanks stimulates the joy center. Say that again. Giving thanks stimulates the joy center. If you remember, I said 2 weeks ago, for every negative, counter it with two positives. That's moving us away from focusing on the left-hand side to focusing on the right. Negativity has had its way for too long. We get fed negatives all the time. Our default mode, particularly being British, is negative. We need to change that and become positive. That we're looking to the joy. That we're looking to develop the right side. Paul in Philippians 4:4 said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. And the Amplified says, delight, take pleasure in God. What's being said here? Let's look at that word, rejoice. It's two words, really. It's got a prefix at the front, re. Now, what does re mean? Once more, return to the previous state. Reverse, send back. So that's re. Joyce is from the old French language and also Latin, means joy. It actually means joy, Lord. Another meaning is, return to joy. So Paul is telling us to return our joy, which has come from God, back to the Lord. Sending back our joy, which has come from Him, back to Him. That's what rejoice means. When we send back our joy to God, He delights in it. It pleases Him. Because we're telling Him how much we love Him, how much we rejoice in what He's given us. Yeah. How much we care for Him. And we're thanking Him for giving it to us in the first place. It's a circle. A God-perpetuating circle. God gives, we return. God gives, we return. So it keeps going round. But you know, with something like this, it doesn't stay the same, and it doesn't diminish. The joy increases. God says, whoa, they're back again. They're rejoicing. Give them a bit more. And that's it. And we build. This builds. Okay, John, please. As the joy builds, our joy center, that part of our brain, which controls so much, gets bigger. Our propensity to take on more of God gets bigger because our joy is in Him. Want to go on now? I've written this declaration because this is actually, I believe, we're at the start of something, to moving on, to growing. And I want us to actually speak out a positive declaration that we are doing this, that we are prepared to move in this way. Okay? So we declare we are children of God and that we believe God's word. We receive and take hold of. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Jesus has spoken to us so that His joy may remain in us, so our joy may be full. We declare we are in the process of increasing our ability to receive, and thereby our capacity increases. Thank you, Father, that medical and scientific advances are confirming the way you created us. We recognize that as we give thanks and as we express gratitude, our joy level increases. We declare we want to and will rejoice in the Lord, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, always rejoice. And again, we say, we shall rejoice. Amen.